When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hollywood Raw Podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glenn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown, where we give you the top 10 stories of the week. We look into it very hard. We are two entertainment journalists with more than a decade experience, and we kind of give you our take on it, kind of give you some insight, especially with what's going on with the number one story of the week. We bring in an expert to kind of explain, and we'll get into that, more into that later. My name is Adam Glenn. Over there is Dax Holt. This week, fun week, Oscar week, award season is finally somewhat done.
I mean, it's pretty done. In my opinion, it's done, bro. We don't got to talk any more award shows.
Well, we kind of got to go over a little bit briefly. We're going to touch it, but there's a lot more stuff that happened this week. Yeah. There's a lot more stuff that happened this week that I really want to get into with you because I really want to hear your hot take and your perspective on it. Before we get to the Raw rundown, we read reviews. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
All right. This is a 5-star review, comes from Maria_Delfini. Awesome podcast is a headline. Sending another review for you guys because I loved the episode with Heather McDonald. She is awesome and you were all so fun to listen to. I always look forward to listening to your podcast and you always have awesome guests. Love, Maria Delfini. Awesome. Thank you, Maria. Thank you for taking the time, leaving us a message. Always, always appreciate it. You guys, you know, that is the number one way into our heart is by awesome reviews left on Apple Podcasts. We go through, we read them all, and we thank you because it is so important to us, helps us in the algorithm, and lets people discover us. All right, let's get going.
All right, Dax, this is our Raw Rundown where we give you the top 10 stories of the week. How do we find our top 10 stories? It goes on Google searches. It goes on data. And it goes, lastly, very, very small percentage of our personal taste. But really, honestly, it goes down to the data. Let's start the Raw Rundown starting with number 10.
Number 10, Olivia Rodrigo handing out morning after pills at her latest concert in Missouri. This is sparking a lot of controversy because obviously abortion and abortion in general is just a very hotbed topic. But Olivia Rodrigo is definitely taking a stand. And at her concert in St. Louis on Tuesday, the 21-year-old pop star welcomed the Abortion Fund to Enterprise Center to hand out free emergency contraceptive pills to any fan who wanted it. This is just one of her latest steps that she's taken to support reproductive rights. A lot of fans took to social media, took to X, posted pictures of this like packet that they were given, and just wanted to thank her for giving them kind of access to things that they would not have otherwise in Missouri. And so, you know, it's a topic that a lot of people find very polarizing, but Olivia has basically, you know, she has picked her stand. And what's more amazing, I think, is a lot of these big stars, they won't pick a stand. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you are on the side of a pro-life or not pro-life or whatever, most people won't say it because they're afraid to lose fans. And yeah, she is like, look, this is my, I don't know, idea of what I think is right. And I'm going to stand by it.
Yeah. I'm surprised she's using it because doing a move like this can really affect.
By the way, I said pro-life or pro-not. I meant pro-choice.
I was like, whatever, unless he's making a new term. But this is a little bit of a risk because, you know, some people could get really offended and you might lose audience members. But obviously, this is something that meant a lot to her, where she's going to use my position to kind of make a statement. I mean, the thing is, at her audience, I have to imagine there is a lot of young people at those shows. And then they're just handing out morning after pills, I think, is just a little unique thing. Like, I think also, I respect her choice.
I'm assuming it's like they have a booth, and if you want to grab it, you can go grab it. But you're right, there's a lot of young fans there. And then I got to imagine there's going to be a certain proportion of fans that are young with their mothers, and they're like, what is that? Like, what? And then you have to do that explanation of like, so here's a pill. Like, I think that might be awkward as a parent. You know, listen, at the end of the day, I'm a dude. I don't have, you know, like, I don't feel like I can tell women what to do with their bodies. So let's let that be clear. But, you know, I think that it's interesting seeing a celeb that has so much fame and popularity being able to voice their opinion, because remember how long it took Taylor Swift to even say anything political?
Yeah.
She was so afraid to lose fans, and her whole record label was behind her being like, don't say anything. Don't take a political stand. You're going to ruin your whole career. And then you've got Olivia Rodrigo on the other hand, who is like fresh, new in the game. And she's like, fuck this. I'm doing whatever I want. I don't know.
Yeah.
With a certain level of, it's good when people can be themselves.
Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing, Dax, I can only imagine, and I'm still that guy. If I go somewhere and they're handing out free things, and I don't know what, even if I know what they are, I'm going to go over there and take a look and probably take it. And then I'll just be like, oh, and then I'll throw it away. Just that's the jerk I am. So I got to imagine there's a lot of people at these concerts, kids included, walking up. What's this? I don't know. Here you go. Here's a morning after pill. So I would just take it, toss it. Interesting thing to do. We'll see how it plays out long term. But again, I do respect that she's taking a stance on something. And if that means, no matter what, if you're taking a stance, it means something to you. She's taking a risk. Good on her. Dax, number nine,
Denise Richards' daughter.
Charlie Sheen's daughter.
Well, Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen's daughter. Yes, yeah. Sammy. We've talked about her in the past because she started up an OnlyFans, got a lot of publicity because there was a point when Denise Richards was saying she was going to do a collab with Sammy on OnlyFans, and people went all crazy. Well, she's 20 years old, and she is doing her first Only boy girl collab on the website. They were touting this is with her boyfriend, who is, I guess, a big TikTok star. I don't know who this guy is, but Aiden David is his name. He's 23 years old. So apparently they're gonna do something. Like, they posted it on social media. It was like photos of them, look like they were fresh out of the shower and kissing, and I don't know.
I want to know exactly what's going on. Is there we'll see, you know, listen, make that money. I just hope in 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, she'll still able to keep her head up high. And I hope she does, because I want her to be happy. And if this makes her happy, at the end of the day, she's making money, good on her. Because she's making a lot of money. And I respect the parents for supporting her as well. Yeah, I know her parents, Denise and Charlie, did have an issue in the past with her doing OnlyFans, but they kind of came to, they just want the best for her. And if she's happy, they're happy. So I think it's, you know, she's doing boy and girl now. We'll see what she does in the next 6 months when she sets up her game. And that's it.
Doesn't it sound so dumb, like boy, girl, like not like man, woman? I don't know. The whole thing just sounds so weird.
Creepy. Now you just made me think about that. Yeah, like her first boy girl scene, like man woman. Oh god. But I'm curious if Denise starts to get involved more. I know she was dabbling in OnlyFans. I don't know what they do on there.
She made a lot of money. Denise Richards made a ton of money off OnlyFans.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have made a lot of money on OnlyFans. I've also know a lot of people who have not made a lot of money on OnlyFans. So we always hear that all these people on OnlyFans are making a ton of money. Yes, some people are making a lot of money. There's a lot of people who are not making a lot of money. They went on, maybe they half-assed it. They didn't know what. You know, I just hope these people can look back and they think they made a good decision. That's really up to them. It's not for me to decide. I just want people to be happy. Make money. Dax, number eight.
Keith Morrison from, Dateline NBC, opening up about Matthew Perry's death. Some people might be like, what the hell is the connection there? Well, Keith Morrison is Matthew Perry's stepfather, and some people do not know that. Keith Morrison was pictured outside of Matthew Perry's house the day that he had died, along with obviously his wife, which is Matthew Perry's mother. And he's opened up about the late actor's death. He went on Hoda Kotb's podcast, Making Space, and talked about Matthew and talked about saying that he was actually really happy before his death and that he hadn't seen him that way in a very long time, which it's just sad. The whole thing is sad. Basically, he said that Suzanne, his wife, obviously had a lot of grief and that she's dealing with it as best that she can. But he said toward the end of his life, him and his mother were closer than I've ever seen them before in decades. And that he was like telling his mom things that most grown men don't. But I think really like, that mother-son relationship finally blossomed because he was healthy, because he had been getting sober, you know, and doing really well. And I think that's what's probably taking a real big toll on his mother is I finally had my son and now he's gone.
Sad. The whole thing is just sad. You know, this is the first time him talking about it. Matthew Perry also left behind $1 million in a living trust named after Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. Interesting, right? He created the will in 2009, according to legal documents. It stated that he wanted to leave his items in the Alvy Singer Living Trust, which again is based on the character from Annie Hall. He never had kids, but he said to make sure that he basically would not leave, if he did have kids, he would not leave anything or he would not have them have access to his estate.
I didn't understand that. That seems so weird. Like, I ever had kids, nothing goes to them.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem weird?
I mean, you see that a lot of people are successful. Maybe he didn't think it was right to kind of give them money, but yet again,
did you also find it strange? Like, I was shocked that it was a $1 million trust and that was it. I would have thought for sure there would be $10 million left over, you know, but
yeah.
He must have really gone through a lot of his fortune throughout the years on drugs and other things. But $1 million for Matthew Perry, like, just doesn't seem like it adds up.
So, Dex, let me ask you this. If he makes a will, he makes his trust. If he had kids, he didn't leave it to them. Where does that money go then? Does it go to a charity?
It goes to his parents. Work? Yeah, his parents were in the will. So, yeah, his dad and his mom were the beneficiaries of his will. So that will be divided up and go to him. And I think he also has a sibling as well.
Yeah. So actually he was buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Hollywood Hills, which is pretty close to the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank.
Where they used to film.
Yeah. Where they used to film Friends. So I think it's kind of, have you ever went on like a Hollywood cemetery tour?
Yeah.
Do you think that would even be good, or is that just like whatever? It's kind of.
I think it'd be interesting. I for sure I would go. I haven't done it before, but I would go to see where people were buried.
Yeah, it's sort of sad and weird, but like the same place he was buried was where Paul Walker, Brittany Murphy, Bob Barker, Debbie Reynolds, John Ritter, Lucille Ball—they're all buried at this.
It's huge. This cemetery is filled with celebrity bodies.
I guess where weird. You get buried is the real Hollywood. It does. I guess where you get buried is the real Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, that's got to be kind of cool. You want to be buried like, no, I did some cool stuff. I want to be buried with other celebrities.
Yeah.
I know this is so sad. We're talking about Matthew Perry.
Okay, let's move on.
That's all right.
Hey, everybody. It's producer Cam. Our buddies seem to have forgotten how to count this week. So there will be no number 7 story. That's all right, though. It's Friday. We'll cut him a break. On to number 6, boys.
Christie Brinkley diagnosed with skin cancer. She's now 70. She was revealing that she underwent surgery after noticing a tiny dot on her face, and she ended up sharing a pretty kind of graphic photo post-surgery where they had cut out a big chunk of skin kind of up by her, I would say, temple on her face, on her left side of her face, and said that, listen, you know, she went in, got it checked out, and it was basal cell carcinoma and caught it early enough that they were able to go in and remove some of the skin. And, you know, she said, look, the good news is for you that all this can be avoided by being diligent with your sun protection. Yes, being diligent with your sun protection is one thing, but I highly recommend people get their skin checked. Things go wrong. Your moles change. They change shape. It happened to me. So go get your skin checked out because it is avoidable and it can be very, very deadly at the same time. So
yeah,
skin Dax cancer just, is no joke.
Dax recently had a little bit of an incident and the photo she released was pretty gnarly. So props to her by kind of being vulnerable and showing her what she was actually going through. You know, she's a girl who obviously has made a lot of money and her career has kind of relied on her looks, but obviously to kind of put herself out there is a bold move, but also a really great move because it raises awareness. And like you said, Dax, it makes people the importance of going to obviously getting your wearing sunscreen, but also getting checked. The number five story is also a sad story as well. Another cancer story, Dax. What is that?
Olivia Munn also revealing that she dealt with breast cancer last year. No one knew about this. It was kind of a big shock for everyone. But I guess in February of 2023, in an effort to be proactive about her health, she took a genetic test, which checks you for like 90 different cancer genes. And she tested negative for all of them, including the BRCA, which is kind of the, I would say, the most well-known breast cancer gene. And then her sister tested negative and like all was good. And then she actually had a normal mammogram that year. 2 months later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Like, so she must have really caught it early enough, but she underwent a double mastectomy and she kept all of it very, very private. She wanted to kind of like deal with this on her own before going out and sharing it with the public. So then she said, you know, in the past 10 months, I've had 4 surgeries, so many days spent in bed. I can't even count. And I have learned more about cancer treatment and hormones than I've ever could have imagined. Surprisingly, I've only cried twice. I guess I haven't felt like there was time to cry. My focus narrowed and I tabled any emotions I felt that would interfere with my ability to stay clear-headed. So yeah. It sounds like she is on the other end of this cancer battle and all is well.
Yeah, she, you know what I respect about this? Obviously, she wanted to keep it private, but her and her husband were just at the Academy Awards this past week where he was really funny. He did a thing about the Field of Dreams and she could have used that opportunity. It was an opportunity where she could have kind of went on the red carpet right before the red carpet, made the announcement, took the attention away from her husband presenting or just the award show in general. But she waited a few days after to talk about it. So I respect how she handled this situation. I'm glad she's in good spirits. And it's tough, man. I mean, she's not the only one going through it. So like, you know, the number six story, just go to your doctor. Always take advantage of
it. Get your skin checked out. Get your boobs checked out. Get it all, get in there, make sure you guys are, you know, getting your regular routines on with doctor visits and checkups.
If you're fortunate enough to have health insurance, take advantage of it. I know only in the past few years, I was like, I'm a healthy guy. I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm like, I'm paying for health insurance. I'm going to go see these doctors. So let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Dax, the number four story.
Number four story, Sharon Stone finally, after all these years, naming the producer who suggested she sleep with her co-star of the movie Silver, Billy Baldwin. So she famously had talked about this in her memoir back in 2021, The Beauty of Living Twice. She never divulged the producer's name about which producer had told her basically, the co-star in this movie, your co-star sucks. He's a terrible actor. So we think to really up the on-screen chemistry, you need to go sleep with him. And so everyone back in the day was like, oh my God, like that's crazy that that would happen. Well, now she's finally naming that producer whose name is Robert Evans, who died back in 2019. But Robert Evans was one of the producers of Silver. And the co-star is Billy Baldwin. And she basically said, she discussed all about it. She said, listen, here's the thing. He wasn't a good actor. The movie was starting to tank, like production of the movie starting to tank. And so Robert came to me, pulled me in a back room, was pacing around the room and basically said, the only way we're going to be able to save this movie, you have to save this movie by going and sleeping with Billy Baldwin.
Crazy, so that, dude. You know how much
he will become not a better actor, but the chemistry will become better between you two and it will revitalize this movie and save the whole thing.
Dude, do you know how insane that is for that stuff
ridiculous.
To happen?
Ridiculous. It's crazy.
But yeah, I think
I actually don't doubt it for one second.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And there's so many things that went on in Hollywood, A, that has come out, but B, majority has not come out. And I believe it. I believe it was a wild time. It was a wild time. Oh, my God. But I wish I grew up during that time because it would just be in, can you imagine doing what we did during that time? But I don't know if people would be like, oh,
people wouldn't be into it as much. No. The gossip side of it. I think there was a certain level of gossip going on in Hollywood, but not to this extent. You know, it was you wanted to push stuff under the rug back then. You didn't. Yeah. People were just gross back then, even more than they are gross now. She did confirm that she never did anything. Billy, not so happy about all of this coming up. He basically told her to shut her mouth. He went on to social media and said, I have so much dirt on her and said, like, why won't she stop talking about me? So his post actually says, not sure why Sharon Stone keeps talking about me all these years later. Does she still have a crush on me or is she still hurt after all these years because I shunned her advances? So let me tell you in PR 101. This is probably the worst thing that you could respond with.
So bad.
Like the worst thing you could respond with because Sharon Stone didn't even go after Billy. She went after the producer saying that this man pushed her into having sex with Billy because I don't know if he's hurt because of, you know, the whole narrative is that he was a bad actor. And so she had to rectify it by sleeping with him. So maybe that's why he's mad. But why would you then turn it on her and say, oh, she had a crush on me and I shunned her advances? Like, oh, my God, that's so bad.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I literally couldn't think of a worse thing to put out there to the public at this moment.
So, Dax, you're Billy Baldwin's publicist. I guess you can't really put a muzzle on him because people hit him up directly and ask him to respond. But how would you handle the situation?
I would have said, It's sad for me to hear that Sharon had to be put up to something like that back in the day. You know, for a movie that I look back on fondly, you know, filming that had so much success, because that movie ended up bringing in like 200 some million dollars in the box office. So it was not a flop by any means, but I think, you know, trying to take the high road in this and just saying, you know, I'm sad that she had to deal with that in a private manner. Hope she's doing well. And you know, it was a good movie and I look back on it fondly. Something to that effect, I think would have gone a lot further.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. What number are we on, Dex?
We are number 3, sir.
Number 3, the Kardashian, Kanye, Bianca. It's been a weird week with them. Where does it stand this week? They've been in the news.
So Kim Kardashian was spotted at the Vulture show alongside of Kanye West's new wife, Bianca. The two of them are in the VIP section, literally right next to each other. And keep in mind that Kim hasn't been overly happy with, I don't know if it's Bianca personally, but just the way that Kanye has been parading her around the world, wearing basically no clothing. It's been reported a couple of times that Kim has basically told him, I do not want her around the kids dressed like this. Like she needs to be wearing actual clothing when she's around our children. And she just hasn't liked the whole thing that's been happening with them. But they awkwardly kind of stood next to each other on Tuesday night as Kanye performed Vultures, the listening party. I don't know. It seemed like there was a couple shots of them actually looking like they were talking. The whole thing felt really awkward though. Like when you watch it, I feel awkward watching the video because I feel like there's tension there. But I'm sure Kanye was like, Kim, I need you to come out, show your support. We've got the kids, do your thing. Because obviously when she's there, it brings a whole lot more publicity than if it was just Bianca there.
Yeah, well, the thing about Bianca is, Dax, we haven't really seen much personality from her. You know,
no, we've seen more skin than we've seen personality.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of skin, and she looks great. And you know, the way I feel like it's coming across is it's almost like it's an art piece with Bianca and Kanye, where mm-hmm. he kind of puts her in fashion that he wants and kind of parades her around. She also like looks at him and like worships him in a weird way. That's the way I kind of view it. And again, we don't see any of her personality coming up. With that said, then you put her next to Kim, maybe she seems a little more fun. I'm not gonna lie, Dax, like I kind of like Bianca, and I don't know why. I'm sort of intrigued.
Like
there, by her.
I've seen zero personality. How can you like her? Like,
so I
it's
saw
all I, just physical at this point with what we see.
Listen, physically, obviously, she looks great, but I saw this video of her and Kanye was DJing at a party. And there was just a vibe between her where she was just like feeling the vibe and like having fun. Now, granted, I am not a Kanye guy. He's got to do a lot of apologies. It's going to take a lot. But it's hard for me to even. I just think Bianca is. I like her. I'm intrigued by her. I want to learn more. I'm curious what's there. What is Kanye
like? You
want to
learn like what book she's reading this month for the book club?
I want to know what's on her DVR. Or does she watch Bravo Summer House? I want to know. This is stuff I want to know about Bianca. So I'm just curious what happens more. I mean, Kanye just released these other photos that he did with her. I mean, she knows, he knows, she knows how she looks.
I think this morning because TMZ posted it and they were like, Kanye posts super revealing photos of Bianca again. And I looked and it's like her actually wearing clothes for once.
Yeah,
like,
this is the least.
Like, what is the most clothes I've seen her wear? Like, what are you talking about? The most revealing thing. She's literally walking around the street butt ass naked.
Her
and now
out.
Like everything's been on display and this is the revealing post. I'm like, okay.
You know what? Through all of this, I think the most respect I have is for Kim, because Kim is going through a lot. I mean, listen, her ex-husband is going out saying, you know, some very hurtful stuff about Jews, and she doesn't. Obviously, she's not walking around and fighting with Kanye publicly, but you know, she does have a child, and that is the father of her child.
I give her the most respect because she shelters her children from the crap. When he says wild crap on interviews or publicly on social media, she shelters her kids from it and says, at the end of the day, this is the father of my children. I can't talk bad about it. I just have to keep things moving and so that they don't look negatively at him. And I'm like, good for you. Good for you for taking that higher road.
I just hope people see that perspective of Kim Kardashian. They understand that perspective of her. And, you know, obviously we see her as a business person, as a socialite, as a celebrity, but we also respect her as a mother because the position she is in is not easy. Dax, the number two story, let's just kind of get into it really quickly.
Yeah, this can be quick. Just obviously for anyone who did not watch the Oscars, we just need to do a quick recap of the 2024 Oscars. Kind of like the biggest moments of the show, the most interesting things. Obviously, everyone knows, Oppenheimer did win Best Picture of the night. That is the big award that everyone, you know, waits to see because they make it the last award of the night. Emma Stone walked away with Best Actress. There was a funny moment if you weren't watching the telecast where the back of her dress like had kind of, I don't know if it came unstitched or popped a seam or what it was, but it was like opened up and that's all she could really think about. It was like, oh my God, my dress is broken in the back. Like, don't look at it. It was really kind of a cute moment. I like when people are relatable like that. Do you remember when Jennifer Lawrence like fell going up the steps? Like that to me was awesome because it was just so funny. Like at the biggest stage of your life and you like trip on your dress and you know, now Emma's dress is breaking open and her and Jennifer Lawrence are great friends. So it was kind of cute to see that moment between the two of them on stage together. Christopher Nolan won Best Actor, or Best Director. Which I think we all saw coming. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor. No shocker there for his role in Oppenheimer. I mean, a bunch of these were like, we all knew it was going to happen. One thing we did not know that was going to happen was Billie Eilish winning her second Oscar for What Was I Made For the Barbie movie.
22 years old and two Oscars.
And, you know, Diane Warren has never won an Oscar, who has written some of the most legendary songs of all time. I thought this was crazy. I saw this the other day that she's been nominated like 16 times. And the biggest songs on the planet, and she has never won an Oscar. Billie's been nominated twice and has won twice. I was like, oh, that is wild.
I'll tell you what, the performance I was blown away by was honestly Becky G. And I know she's pretty big, and I wasn't familiar with her as much, but like I was like, man, Becky G is great. But I mean, that was the Oscars.
Diane Warren wrote that song, the one that Becky performed. Diane Warren wrote that song and didn't.
And she had, I'm sorry, Diane Warren. She, I think she has 15 Oscar nominations. So I think that's 16, 15 Oscar nominations overall. I give the 2024 Oscars a B rating. Why B? Actually, probably B minus. Why B minus? The movies weren't that great this past year. I know we're in a weird time. And then there's nothing memorable. But yet again,
you wouldn't give, not even for Ryan Gosling's performance.
It was fun. I enjoyed him having fun.
For Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito to show up together.
That part was, I'll tell you what, Dax, the Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Michael Keaton moment I thought was better than the Ryan Gosling thing. The Ryan Gosling thing was cute. However, to me, Barbie wasn't the it was a gold marketing movie. As far as the movie itself, it wasn't that great of a movie to me. But the way they marketed the movie during the timing of everything, it worked out perfectly. Ryan Gosling doing that performance and having fun with it at that type of situation, great job. I commend him for having fun with it. But the most fun is when Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito came out together. Obviously, we haven't seen them stand next to each other in so long. And then when they panned the camera to Michael Keaton with that serious face, I love Michael Keaton. Good. Michael Keaton is so awesome. And in fact, I always still resent it. I was walking through NBC's 30 Rock and I saw Michael Keaton just standing there, just kind of like hanging out, waiting for someone. I'm like, and I was so pissed I didn't ask him for a photo because I'm a huge Michael Keaton fan. I think he's so charismatic, such a great actor. I hate to say even underrated actor. Even though he's done some classic films, but I don't think people appreciate him as much as he should because I think he's so good.
When I saw they had a back shot of Arnold and Danny DeVito, and I was like, yes, like they're there, like together, reunion. Yeah. I was so excited. I was like waiting for the commercial to end so I could see them. And when they came out and basically said the one thing that they had in common was they're both, you know, Batman villains. And then they pan over and they're like, that. What do they call him? That bastard is here or something like that. It just made me laugh so much.
It was pretty funny.
Great moment.
And Michael Keaton playing into it and just doing like the, come on. It was so good.
Robert Downey Jr. won his first Oscar ever. That was pretty cool.
All right, Dex, that's enough. We said we were just going to briefly go.
What about John Cena? John Cena getting naked. You really give this a B minus? There was a lot of memorable moments.
There were cute moments. There were fine moments. But it wasn't those moments. Those what made it a B rating. The issue was the talent this year as far as the movies were not great.
I'm giving it a B plus, A minus.
Ooh, A minus, Dex. Come on. We gotta be critiques here.
There were some years I couldn't even watch the Oscars. They were so bad. This year I was genuinely entertained. I'm sorry, but Catherine O'Hara and Michael Keaton going out doing a Beetlejuice reunion. Yes, I'm in for that too. Yeah,
okay. Moving on.
You're speechless now because it was entertaining.
Dax, the number one story of the week.
Number one story of the week, no doubt about it, obviously has to do with the royal family because that is all anyone has been talking about. This huge photoshopping scandal that has taken over the world. you know, it started off with, where is Kate? You know, she had this surgery, this abdominal surgery, and then she hasn't been seen in public. And then there was one shot of her like in a car with her mom, and people started to doubt whether or not it was her. Then on Mother's Day, the UK Mother's Day, she posts a photo of her with her three kids. And that's when things went to a whole nother level. Everyone accusing her of photoshopping. They've picked out numerous different spots in this photo. Numerous agencies wouldn't even post it because they said it was way too manipulated. Here's the thing. You and I know a lot about the royal family. But yes. We know nothing compared to our friend Kinsey Schofield, who is a royal expert. We are bringing her in because she is the best person to talk all things royal. She has the To Die For Daily podcast. Kinsey, welcome back. How are you?
I mean, I'm very busy, as you can imagine. I never thought my 2024 was going to look like this. This is insane.
I can imagine. I mean, really, like I said, this is the only thing people have been talking about. It's been getting a lot of memes, people making fun of it. Get us caught up on why this is such a scandalous situation.
Actually, let's start from the beginning. The last even 7 days, I've been getting hit up like crazy. So I can only imagine, Kinsey, how much you've been getting hit up. How did this – I feel like it started a little bit with the Photoshop fail, but explain to us, break it down for people – what's going on over there?
Right. Well, I'm glad I'm talking to you two, because my biggest argument is, so what? We all Photoshop. Show me a picture of Kim Kardashian that hasn't been Photoshopped. The issue is that this is a historical figure, that this is a woman that could potentially one day be the queen. We expect her to be the queen. And so I believe that is why photo agencies took such a harsh, I guess, judgment when it came to this photo and said, we're not going to distribute this. I think it's whatever, everybody Photoshops their kids until you have major photo agencies like the Associated Press releasing in such a dramatic fashion that kill order. And that's where you realize, oh, that these aren't just celebrities. These are historical figures. And this has never been done before in royal history. So this now becomes something we are going to read about in history books 100 years from now, if books still exist in 100 years. But this all started with the Princess of Wales announcing a planned abdominal surgery in January. If you are a royal commentator like myself, you had a list of events that you expected to see the princess at the beginning of the year. You expected to see her on the red carpet at the BAFTAs. You expected her to see her celebrating St. Patrick's Day. You know, there were certain events we expected to see her at. So we were surprised by a planned abdominal surgery that had happened the day before that none of us knew about. And on top of that, to almost as if they wanted to settle everyone down about the Princess of Wales's abdominal surgery, they announced that the king is going in for a planned surgery. No one, you know, it's an enlarged prostate. No one panic. A few days later, we find out he has cancer. So there is chaos, absolute chaos surrounding the royal family. We were told that we wouldn't see the Princess of Wales until around Easter. But for some reason, that just was not good enough for people. Maybe it is because we continue to see the king. Maybe, you know, we do. He's going through cancer treatment. He still is seen in photographs. He still is, you know, doing as much work as he can without being exposed too much to the public. We see him in videos, but we haven't seen the Princess of Wales. So the big, you know, where is Kate campaign started on social media. That kind of gave me the ick, because I To Die For Daily, like my whole brand is Diana. And I felt like the Where Is Kate campaign could lead someone to do something unsavory to try to get access to her, to get the scoop, or to get down to the bottom of it and maybe jeopardize her safety or her children's safety. So I tried to stay away from the Where Is Kate drama. But then when you have all this drama surrounding, you know, Kate being out of commission and the rumors. There was a Spanish journalist that reported she was in a coma, and that was in an entire other country. That was considered a legitimate story. And so when you have all of that kind of chaos floating around you, I'm sure you do feel like you have to do a proof of life, which is fine. I get that somebody in the palace said, this is a good idea. Or William and Catherine between themselves said, let's just release a surprise photo on Mother's Day that no one expected. But when you're trying to nip a rumor in the bud, the last possible thing you should do is post a doctored photo. And that was a real misstep. And it's the first we've ever seen from the Princess of Wales. And I'm mad that her husband is letting her take the fall for it.
Here's a question though for you. With this photo, do you feel like it was an old photo or do you feel like it's a new photo that they just tried to touch up? Because that's where I'm kind of like, when I look at the photoshopping elements or the things that were like mistakes, you know, it's like a sleeve is kind of edited or, you know, the hair doesn't match up. There's certain little things, but do you feel like they put the kids in the photo? Do you feel like they put her in the photo? Like, what about it is truly like fake other than little photoshopping edits?
Okay, that's a great question, because some of the photographers that received the image for the agencies that squashed the image, they checked the EXIF data. So they checked the data that they received from the palace. That data gives you information like what kind of camera the photo was taken on. Was it taken on an iPhone or a Canon? This apparently was taken on a Canon. It could tell you exactly how many times it was photoshopped and from where. It was photoshopped in a Photoshop, Adobe, 16 times, I believe, that the information said. The photo was taken on a Friday evening, afternoon, like I guess I should say Friday afternoon. So there is proof, like technical proof, tangible evidence that the photo was taken on a weekday leading into the weekend, right before their Mother's Day. There, it was, you know, taken on a Canon camera. I believe what happened was you're trying to wrangle three children together. You're trying to get the perfect expression and posture on each one of those little worms. I mean, think about Louis. You cannot control Prince Louis. Whenever you see Louis on the balcony, he's got a tongue out. He's so expressive. I think she was trying to, I think she copied and pasted multiple photos in to try to create the perfect image. And your first reaction is, it is the perfect image. They're all smiling. All it is like adult teeth and little baby faces. It's so cute. But when you start to like crop and scroll in, you realize that there are, you know, certain elements that don't make sense. I think maybe Charlotte was a little more to the right. She moved her more to the left. So she's in frame in that perfect little Instagram square.
Let's be realistic. Kate's not photoshopping herself.
You really don't think so?
No, I have worked with Photoshop for ages. I wouldn't even know how to do like that decent of a photoshopping job. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, it's not Dax. It's not that decent.
Well, it's not that decent, but that's not easy to even make stuff look realistic when you Photoshop. Like, you have to be pretty technically savvy, I think, these days to make it look legitimate. So I think there was obviously some photographer or someone else that's helping them out that probably tried to Photoshop, and she's taking the fall for it because that's...
But why? Why? In royal history, and think about all of the scrutiny she's under right now. She's never been under this kind of negative attention. My argument, because I've had several people in the UK say that to me too. Oh, you really think she did that? Well, then why is she taking the blame for it? Did you ever see Queen Elizabeth apologize for anything? I mean, it's so rare to see somebody apologize. And what she's done is, you know, like I suggested before, she's heightened the chaos around her. Now she's got people camping outside of Windsor trying to get a proof of life. When there is a shot taken, there was one last week where William and Catherine were in the car and it's just the side of her face. All of these people found other sides of her face photos and was like, oh, this is photoshopped too. No, it's the same woman. It looks like her because it is her, but it's created more chaos. Why not just say the intern did it and the story would totally go away?
So that photo that we saw of her in the car, that wasn't that wasn't AI, that was not a photo agency just trying to sell a fake photo. That was legit, correct?
That was legit, yes.
Okay. Because I saw some conspiracies online saying that that was fake, that that was AI, that the photo agency screwed it up. We're seeing, is there any conspiracies that you're searing online with Kate Middleton right now that you're kind of leaning towards that you think could possibly be true?
I'm hearing she had a hard time recovering from this illness, and she is insecure about being away for so long. And that I do believe that that's probably true. I also think that that might be a reason why you'd want to touch up a photo if you've lost weight after a serious abdominal surgery. There are also the questions surrounding her. Why isn't she wearing her wedding ring in the photo? Princess Diana tore her very famous black sheep sweater with that exact ring because it's big, it's bulky, it's this huge sapphire. If I'm recovering from surgery, I'm not trying to wear that big thing that's tearing through clothes around my house when I'm just, comfortable with my family. So I think that she probably is still recovering and not feeling great and doesn't necessarily want to see the world.
And what did you think of Harry and Meghan's photographer sharing an unedited photo in the midst of all of this from when they announced one of their babies her pregnancies? And it was like, here's the color version of a black and white photo. What did you think? Was this a petty move by the photographer? What was your thoughts on that?
I honestly felt like the photographer shouldn't have done it, because I think more of him. Like, he's a Vogue, he's shot for Vogue. He was just nominated for an Oscar. I'm not sure if he won or not, for a short film he did with David Oyelowo. So I'm just kind of like, aren't you too busy for this? Like, why are you inserting yourself? Dax, where I'll tell you I was disappointed was that Page Six reported that someone close to Harry and Meghan said that this would have never happened to Harry and Meghan because Meghan is too savvy. They said that if it would have happened to the Sussexes, they would have absolutely been annihilated. Someone from Archwell did respond to Newsweek saying that the person that made those comments are not associated with the Sussexes. But why not take it a step further and say, but we don't believe in the online bullying or the conspiracy theories or the drama surrounding the Princess of Wales? Everybody should take a step back, because their whole campaign, as you saw Meghan at South by Southwest, is stop bullying people online. And a lot of this stuff is exactly that. So why just shaggy it and say it wasn't me? Why not go a step further and say, but we also think that this this behavior is out of control?
Because there's a lot of bad blood there. And they're like,
you said
it. Let your own self burn down, I think, is what it comes down to. I think that there's just so much bad blood between them that they're like, why would we stick up for them when they don't stick up for us?
Yeah.
I think it's really honest truth. Well, Kinsey,
There's one last thing, Kinsey, I want to get into. One last rumor is that Prince William may have cheated. Is there any truth? Where does it stand right now? Are they addressing the alleged affair rumors?
Well, they did address them in 2019 by threatening The Sun and another paper that reported something similar. And those papers removed the article. This is an older story that continues to circulate. Now, there are several very respected royal biographers that admitted to investigating this, heavily. Robert Lacey, who also, I know this is your favorite show, Dex, Robert Lacey, who also consulted on The Crown, said he investigated it, could not find any proof. Tom Bauer, who wrote a book called Revenge, investigated it, could not find any proof. Tina Brown, who was friends with Princess Diana, worked for Vanity Fair, investigated it, couldn't find any proof. Richard Kay, a friend of Princess Diana's, investigated it, couldn't find any proof. So it's been investigated. I'll tell you why I believe it's recirculating, because Omid Scobie mentions it in his book Endgame, which came out in November, Now, Omid worked with a third party associated with Harry and Meghan on his book, Finding Freedom. Meghan had to admit in a court of law and apologize that she lied about collaborating with Omid on Finding Freedom. And Omid, in his book, Endgame, says that, like, brings up these rumors again, saying it really was damaging to Prince William's reputation. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it's come up again. On top of the where is Kate mystery, could there be problems in the relationship? We haven't seen her. She's disappeared. This book just came out in November that caused so much trouble because it accused the Princess of Wales and King Charles of being the quote unquote royal racist from the Oprah interview in the leaked Dutch version. And I just think that it's recirculating because it was republished in that book. Do I have 3 seconds to tell you something else, like crazy salacious? Tom Bauer told Megyn Kelly that it was Meghan Markle that helped facilitate this rumor. And at one point, one of the reasons that Prince William can't stand Meghan Markle is that Meghan confronted Kate about this affair rumor and said, what does it feel like to be, you know, to have to deal with all of this William affair, you know, drama? And apparently that made Prince William so irate that Meghan would feel comfortable enough to say something like that to the Princess of Wales. And Harry kind of addresses it in his book Spare and says it's not, he doesn't blatantly come out and say the story, but he says William was dealing with a story that was absolutely not true. So I do not believe the rumors. They're old rumors. And if you actually go and look at where they originated and look at that person's credibility, it kind of makes you go, I don't know. I don't think so.
It's so wild with the royal family. I feel like this day and age, like, you can literally make up anything and put it out there and people will believe you and they'll pick it up. It's wild. I can't imagine the scrutiny that these people go through. And you really must not feel like a human being half the time. Because again, it's a corporation. The royal family is a corporation, but at the end of the day, they're humans underneath all the crowns and the fancy clothes and all of that kind of stuff. And people start to forget that. But Kinsey, thank you so much for joining us. That was fun. I mean, the number one story, obviously everyone's talking about it. And if you guys want to hear more royal dish and drama, head on over to listen to her podcast, To Die For Daily. Kinsey knows all things royal, and so that's why we had her on. But anyway, thank you guys also for listening to the podcast. That was our Raw Rundown, our top 10 stories of the week. Adam, where can people find us?
You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We have a private Facebook group called Off The Record, which you guys should join. Follow me at Adam Glenn, follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. See you guys next week.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.